Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Divine Manifesting with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy. How are you? How's everybody out there?
Man, I'm phenomenal. I don't know about you.
Why is that, Christy?
It's just a good day, you know?
Good.
It's just a beautiful day. So, yeah, and it's an exciting day because we have our special friend, Karen Wilson, who is coming on the line today. And I know that you you've interviewed Karen a couple times in my absence and spoken on a lot of different beautiful subjects. And today I actually asked her to come on and talk with the both of us about dreams and a special, special reason for why today is so special. So, Karen, are you there? Welcome to the show.
I'm on. Thank you. Thank you. It's always so much fun to be with the two of you.
Well, it's great having you, Karen. It's like, I know when you and I have had the show together, it just has been so, so interesting, and it just flows, and you're just a wealth of information. So I'm so happy that you're here to talk with us about dreams. Thank you for being here.
Yes, and, you know, I actually want to give our callers kind of like a bit of information, like our history of how we met. Rebecca and I were at a conference. It was like a speaking conference. And we happened to be waiting in line to go into the room, and I just happened to look up, and I saw this amazing divine goddess, and something told me I had to speak to her, and it ended up that she had a name tag that was said from Paradise Valley, Arizona, and that's where I went to school. It's where I was raised and born and raised and all the whole thing. So I felt very connected because of that, and we both just instantly agreed that she has this deep wisdom about her and this amazing insight and light, and it was just such a pleasure to spend this time with her, getting to know her, and she's just an amazing woman. So I'm just delighted that we've kept in touch and that she's part of our lives and that she's able to be on this show to share her wisdom with you. So, welcome.
Well, thank you. My goodness, that's quite a drum roll you got there for me, Christy. Well, I'll do my best to just dream a fun dream here and see what we can do today.
Sounds good. Well, what I wanted to, I know I wanted you to come on and talk about dreams, but you had said to me that today is a special day, and so I wanted you to give callers an insight onto what today is and also what's coming up in on September 11th.
Okay. Well, I'll give a brief overview. I'm a little bit fuzzy tired today. I stayed up all the way through the eclipse, which was Pacific time here, about 3:15. This morning. So starting about 1:30, it was amazing. It was just, the light is just amazing. So we are in, well, let me back up. You know, this is such an important time that if people are feeling just a little bit not themselves, irritable, a little numb, kind of stuck in old thoughts, feeling just too sensitive more than usual, kind of feeling negative, food not digesting well, those kinds of things that are all coming together that could very well be part of what we're all collectively going through right now. These series of eclipses have always been, you know, eclipse times have been omens of transformation and signs of upcoming change. And we're in this beginning of this incredible gateway at the end of this year for a tremendous change. So we can ride that energy and really help ourselves create more of what we've come here to do, or we can just kind of just not feel like ourselves. So it feels like this is really important timing.
Right. You know, it's interesting that you're saying this, Karen, because it falls into, I know what you and I talked about, and I know Christy and I have been so focused on this on the show. And that is the law of allowing, and you're making me think that it's like either we're going to allow ourselves to grow and transform, and you said ride the wave of this beautiful energy, or we're going to resist it and fight it and judge ourselves. And I think I just wanted to interject real quickly. I hope I didn't cut you off, but I just felt like it tied in, it dovetailed in so beautifully of what we've been talking about on the show and the importance of allowing yourself to feel the flow and go with what's happening. And I want to just, you know, make another point a little later when you're finished on my experience of yesterday, and because I'm sitting back going, oh my gosh, that is so beautiful that you're saying this. It's incredible. I mean, everything in me is just alive right now. So go on. I've got my popcorn. I'm ready.
I can hardly wait to hear your story now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hear your story, Rebecca.
Oh, it's along, I'm so glad you asked. It's along the laws of allowing. But yesterday, you know, you and I spoke, Christy, and I was just had all this energy in the morning. And then around lunchtime, I literally just went unconscious. And I was like, it did a little bit of that, oh my gosh, what is going on? What's wrong with me? I had a whole day planned of, I was really going to get some good writing done. And the law of allowing, and having practiced the law of allowing now, I just really let myself be. I just said, you know, you just need to go back, take yourself back to bed. And I think you and I talked about this last week, Christy, of just the importance of letting yourself be where you are if you have that opportunity, even if it doesn't make sense. And so I've circumvented all that negative self-talk and really just allowed myself to be where I was, to really rest. And so as you're saying, this important wave of energy that came in, I realize now from a spiritual perspective, that's what I was gearing up for. And you know that I was up at 3 in the morning, got up and just started meditating and didn't realize, you know, again, it's like I think I was gearing up, and had I not allowed myself to be where I needed to be, I can really see where I wouldn't have been able to kind of harness this energy and get up and be part of it. So as you're saying it, it was just a huge validation and a hello to that space of listening and letting it be as it is. And so I'm just feeling very validated as you're talking about this incredible, auspicious time that we're having on the planet.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, it is nice to have some confirmation sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
You know, of how you're tuning in and how... And so hopefully a lot of the people listening have maybe are going, oh my gosh, that's why too, you know.
Right.
There are other people. So let me just kind of go through this briefly. So that was yesterday, Monday the 27th, started all about 12:30, where the planet Mars was as close to the Earth, its closest point to the Earth that it will be in any of our lifetime. So we've shared. And sometimes, because it is so close, it is called the Red Moon, and many prophecies call it the Sibyl or Sibylline prophecy, that it's a sign of the coming of our new world. It's part of this gateway, this series of that's going on right now. And so, in general, what I'm going to... These three gates that come together and create this Stargate... is this energy wave, this wave that's allowing us, it's giving us opportunities to express and make physical, here's your divine manifesting, that which we've been directing our will towards. So,
I like that.
Yeah, I kind of figured you would.
You can't see us right now, Karen, but Christy and I are high-fiving ourselves energetically.
Going, all right.
We're like in front and behind. And we're doing
I'm doing the cabbage patch.
I'm spinning porridge. Okay, we'll stop now.
We really are 10-year-old girls, but you know, go ahead.
I get that, and may you always be your joyful child. Yes.
Oh my God.
So this is about bringing the means to the ends here, and so today, this is so wonderful that I was asked today. It just gives me a giggle too, that today, and it's around 3:30, you know, a.m. this morning. The total eclipse of the moon was visible in our country and in several other countries. This is, you know, a global thing, of course, that's happening. It's a cosmic thing that's happening. So this is coming to a head of the shifts that we've been waiting for and that we've been working for and that we've been praying for, and that also we have been dreaming about, that we've been creating in our dreams, in our waking dream and in our sleep dreams. It feels like everything is going to implode, and that's kind of the uncomfortableness that a lot of people have been feeling. But it's part of this eclipse window. Now, eclipse window refers to the time between two eclipses. So there we go, where the energy is very high and very intense during this time. And the inner self tries to decide where to put new roots down. You know, tries going, well, there's all this energy. It feels new. It's really not. It's a almost a completion. So what you've been dreaming about, what you've been working for, none of that's been lost. It's been planted. The roots are growing, and you will be seeing. This is also an incredibly powerful time for intention, new intention or re-intention. We forget to do that sometimes. And so this window can also be called the eye of the needle. It's between now, yesterday, and today, and the solar eclipse, eclipse on September 11th. So what we have just entered into is it like entering a cocoon. We have entered this time where what we've been working for, what we've been thinking about, what we've been intending, is working, and we're all in this cocoon. And we'll be coming out of this window. We'll be emerging on September 11th. It's a solar eclipse. It will be when the inner changes take outer form and manifestation. So we've just entered into this incredible time on our planet and individually. And, you know, just like a butterfly, sometimes we'll feel a little awkward or not very graceful. But we'll get clearer and clearer, and the path and for our new directions will be better illuminated, and we'll feel more settled inside. Not quite so chaotic, I've been working, so where is it, you know, why isn't it here?
So you're saying we're going to feel more settled on September 11th?
Yes.
Okay.
On September 11th, we'll begin to feel more settled.
Okay.
Not like a magic wand, but
right.
It is the... the emergence begins to happen.
So between now and then, it is really important to be applying that law of allowing, which is allowing ourselves to be where we are, such as we are, raggedy and fragmented.
Yes.
Discombobulated.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. And at the same time, I was just thinking that the law of attraction, too, being very mindful of what your intentions are and being very mindful of what vibration you're sending out to the universe, because
right.
if it's an intense period... and more, and it's going to intensely, manifest. It's like, be careful of what you're manifesting.
Right,
careful
and I can really
passing.
See that if we are in that space of, oh, look at me, so fragmented and spacey, and I should be over here, and I should be, then that's what we're actually attracting to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if we allow ourselves to be in this beautiful state of unfoldment and in anticipation of what's around the corner, that's what we will then attract to ourselves. So this is really so great that you're here enlightening us, Karen, to this time, because it really is sort of, I can see us at a crossroads as we can go in one of either two directions, manifesting wonders and greatness or really manifesting a lot of self-defeating stuff to ourselves. So I'm so glad you're illuminating us.
Absolutely.
And it's true. During this time, we have a few weeks here, and during this time to just trust that wherever you are is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That when we have these moments of kind of craziness, that things don't feel like they're going smoothly, to do what you know to do to just help yourself through that time, to not lose faith, to not lose trust in the whole process,
mm-hmm.
to step back and see the forest, to take a nap, to take a breath, to mm-hmm. go for a walk, to laugh with a friend like you two.
Be gentle.
Automatically.
Yes, be gentle with yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's part of this gestation.
Yeah, that's a good word.
And it, I feel like so many, like the planet right now is pregnant.
Mm.
And those of us on her, we have all of these dreams and all of these hopes. And there's so much hope for peace right now. That we're collectively incubating. And so however the chaos shows up in our lives, to just breathe through it, to just see the big picture, to know that this is what happens in gestation as new form is coming, and to be ready, you know, to be ready with new levels of gratitude when we begin to see the fruits of our will, the fruits of our intention beginning to come into the planet.
I'm getting the feeling, Karen, as you're talking, is this a really good time to be releasing all that we don't want to be bringing into the next and the new? Is that what this time is about?
Well, always in a circle, you know, the what's ending in something is beginning. So as we are in this incubation time, it's actually... it works to get very clear that what no longer serves you is over.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, sometimes we have this idea that it's like a verb, doing something. We have to really do something to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more difficult and also the giggle, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the secret of letting go
mm-hmm.
is do nothing.
Right.
You know, sometimes we want to get in there, and we want to do this, and we want to try that. Well, that hasn't worked. Nothing's happened, so I'm going to try this. Well, let's try to get...
It actually constricts the flow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have a great mantra for that. When I'm in the time of a lot of transformation, I tend to say this over and over to myself, which is, let that which is leaving leave. Let that which is coming in come in. And it just reminds me to be in that gentle flow of, you know, just let it leave. Let it leave gracefully. Let it be moving. I don't have to do anything about it. I just have to be setting my intention of let that which is leaving move on out and be welcoming the new that is coming in. So it just feels much more gentle for me for some reason. That mantra reminds me that I don't have to get in there and do it.
Right.
Move it on out. I just need to be open to let that which is leaving leave. And let that which is coming in come in, you know. So it's just a
Rebecca,
gentle.
That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Christy.
Yeah, I've known you for 10 years, and I've never heard you say that mantra. So I'm like,
oh my
you've been
God.
Holding out on me.
Oh, sister, there is so kidding. Much I'm holding out on. I got to keep you intrigued. I got to keep you guessing, sister.
Oh no, that really is beautiful. I'm like, wow, that you know, that really hit me. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, and you hit me right in the heart. So it's like, oh, I love this girl so much. Oh, thank you, Christy. Yeah, I love it because it feels very flowing to me.
Exactly. Oh. That's exactly how I felt. It was like that feeling of just a flow. And I was like, I could, like, I sensed the energy as you said it. It was like, wow, that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Let that which is leaving leave. Let that which is coming in come in. Yeah.
And, of course, that's happening all the time. And it's really us that's just aligning ourselves with that flow. You know?
Yes.
And there's a joyful flow in the way that you say it, too, which is, you know, really resonates with me.
Uh-huh.
As well as the gentleness.
Yes.
And, you know, flow, it's flowing. So that it can be gentle and sequential and natural and gentle.
Mm-hmm.
So you said it really, really beautifully. And that is a key point to remember as we've entered into this window, into this gestation, into this gateway. So for everyone listening, may Rebecca's mantra be yours as well. May it work on you, even if you don't remember it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You remember the feeling, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, welcoming in the new and welcoming out the old, you know. So it is, it's just a feeling. It's a feeling of being in the circle of things. And there's no, you know, it doesn't feel abrupt to me, like, you know, now I'm here, now I'm there. It's just that I'm always in the flow of allowing that which is leaving to leave without resistance and allowing that which is coming in to find space within my heart for the new blessings. So,
You know, it brings me back to something that Abraham says, is that, you know, you wouldn't go to a river and put your canoe upstream and try to paddle upstream, but most of us try to do that, it's so much easier just to turn your canoe in the other direction and just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it truly is. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about right now, is just the flow. And when you think about it, it's like nature has its natural flow. I mean, all the things that are happening on our planet right now, but, you know, you think about, even like we think about the timing of the, are things manifesting. You both know that I'm, when I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it.
Which
and,
is always
you know,
right now.
Well, you know, my mom bought me when I was young a poster board that says, God grant me patience and I want it right now. And so that has been my mantra my whole life. So I'm very, you know, I think, okay, I want what I want, and I think I have this picture in my mind, my perfect pictures of when things should manifest. And it occurs to me that, you know, a bear doesn't wear a watch. You know,
uh-huh.
a bear doesn't wear a watch saying, okay, now it's, you know, time to go hibernate. But it's amazing that all on our planet, within one or two days of each other, all the bears go in and hibernate. It's like, it's a natural flow of the universe. If you guys have ever seen, you know, the March of the Penguins, it's
yeah.
amazing that the exact same day, on the, you know, exact same month, every single year, the penguins do this march, and they all end up migrating to the exact same place. And, you know, the natural way of the universe and that natural flow of nature, it's like it doesn't wear a watch. And I think we as humans get so caught up, especially now that we're aware of the universal laws and we're, you know, becoming divine manifestors and, you know, deliberate creators and those type of things, that we have this watch of when it has to happen, and it has to happen on my time.
Right.
And it's instead of just allowing and going with that flow. So it's a beautiful reminder for me. So thank you both.
Oh, yeah, that's great, Christine. That the March of the Penguins is such a great image, and you made me think. You know, the funny thing is we all have that internal voice, too, just like they have, that they're
mm-hmm.
dialed into all of nature, all of the animals on the planet. They're dialed in. I'm thinking of, you know, the tsunami that hit and all, you know, in India and Thailand, and all of the animals knew to retreat. They were listening to that internal dial. They were listening to the internal voice that said, head for the hills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we as humans have that, though. And that's the thing that was so reassuring when you said that. I thought, but I have that voice within. Because, mm-hmm. and when I'm listening to that voice, it tells me, you know, you're tired, go to sleep. I'm realizing I listened to that voice yesterday. What woke me up at 3 a.m. and said, meditate, get up and meditate? And I did for over an hour. And it was like, what voice was that? Did I know there was an eclipse going on? No, not this morning. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. That's what was happening. You know, and until Karen illuminated that for me. But the great thing is we all have that voice within ourselves, that thing called intuition that's
Absolutely.
Guiding us and talking to us. And if we just get still enough and listen to it, we really don't have to rely on the watches on our wrists. We can, you know, we don't have to rely on everything that's outside of us. That internal, whatever it is, intuition, still small voice, will guide us. And it's just so much easier. I'd rather be the bear than just sort of go, oh, getting sleepy,
yeah.
instead of going, what's today?
Our listeners are going to be like, okay, all they do is sleep.
Yeah. And laugh.
Yeah, sleep and laugh. At least we're happy, lazy people. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's interesting, like, we're talking about following your intuition, going with the flow. You know how I am when I am going on a trip, and, you know, I was scheduled to go to New York tomorrow and do a conference for a women's downtown business group. And, you know, I have my speech all pretty much laid out and everything, but something within me was kind of, I don't want to say resisting, but I just didn't feel that, like, inspired action to go, you know, do the things that I needed to do, like really practice my speech or go make copies and, you know, really get myself prepared. And it's just interesting because I was supposed to leave tomorrow and it's, you know, Tuesday morning, and I'm like, that's just so not like me to not have all my stuff together. And I got an email from the woman saying that they just didn't have a good enough turnout because of the fact that it's, you know, end of summer, people are going back to school, kids are going back to school, and they'd rather have me come like September or October. And it was just interesting to me because I was just like, okay, cancel the trip.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it wasn't like the resistance, like, oh, my God, I already had a plane ticket. It was just like, okay. And it just occurred to me, it was like, wow, that's so funny. You know, I didn't do the normal things that I plan on. And it was that kind of that intuition within me that said, you know, don't it's not going to happen. There's almost like a part of me that knew it wasn't going to happen, so I didn't take the action to do that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I think it ties in with dreams also, because we're talking about, I don't know if we're talking about the unconscious that needs to come through in order to, you know, guide us and protect us and direct us, but there's something there, and I think that we're told in a myriad of different ways, whether we're listening to that still small voice or we have dreams which direct us or whatever that may be. I think what we're talking about today is really using especially this time between the eclipses to get in touch with and get in the flow of, you know, the quiet of the of that source energy. I don't know how best to put it, but what do you think, Karen? You're like, can I get a word in edgewise?
Well, I know. You're like, God, it was easier when Christy wasn't on the phone before we could actually talk.
No, seriously, Christy, it wasn't. Karen will tell you.
No, I'm having a great time.
Oh, good.
I'm having a great time.
You know, this, the great, that before she starts talking, before we let her talk again, that's a great segue into what, you know, what we initially wanted her to come in and talk about, and that was dreams, because I don't know about you guys, but I mean, when I have very vivid dreams, and my dreams are so vivid to me that when I wake up, I have clear emotions. I wake up with, like, you know, sometimes anxiety, sometimes feeling elated, sometimes feeling frustrated, sometimes, you know, a lot of different feelings that I get because my dreams are so real to me. And Karen is such a great resource because she helps you interpret your dreams, and she has such a wonderful take on dreams. So if you could help us get insight into dreams, Karen, that would be amazing.
Well, I'll give it a shot. You know, dreams are so personal. There is nothing more intensely personal or fascinating or uniquely ours than these journeys, these voyages that our minds and our spirits take while we're sleeping. And so it is important that everyone, that people know that ultimately the only interpreter of someone's dream is that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's so unique and so personal. And during this, during our voyages, during our journeys, we pick up so much information. And of course, we're picking up information all the time, every day, anyway. Actually, 14 times a second, we are out in our waking state. That's another topic. But in dream experiences, it's important when you're looking at your dreams to, it's the same kind of flow we were talking about before, to not be afraid of the information, even if they're scary kinds of dreams. I call those release dreams. There's kind of five general areas of dreams. You know, we do have the astral visits, and in our lucid dreaming and in our astral visits, that's sometimes some of the healing that I do. I'll meet people in dream time and do some work that way. There's information or problem-solving dreams, like when we're working on a project or we're trying to finish a project for work or school or something like that, and we can't figure it out, we're working and working off, and there's information all through literature all around the world that, boom, these ideas come that we've been working on. The answer comes in a dream. It's like the sewing machine came in a dream. He couldn't figure out how to do the needle, you know. He couldn't, where to put the thread, and that came in a dream. There's all kinds of information like that. So if you're working on something, a problem-solving dream can work it out for you. Prophetic dreams tend to be feel, you talked about feeling, you know, Christy, they feel different. The colors are a little brighter. It doesn't feel like just yours. It feels like you're really getting information more than just for you. So prophetic dreams have a very different feel to them. And release dreams and wish dreams, releasing, you know, you're being chased, or you can't get into your car, or you want to move and you can't. Those kind of prepared dreams, like you know, you're naked, but you're supposed to be giving a speech.
I'm always there. I swear, that's really good.
Oh, God.
I have those a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm always, like, a little bit late, and I can't, you know, I'm just, like an hour late, or you can't find your clothes kind of dream.
Uh-huh.
That's really good, though. All that struggle that you're, so that now you put perspective on it, that you're actually trying to release that struggle, release that stuckness.
Exactly.
That's really good.
It's beautiful. And that's why I would encourage people. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt you. Is that, like, would that be the same if you are trying to, you know, you have a cell phone in your dream and you're trying to call someone, but you can't seem to, like, dial the number, and it's like you're getting frustrated because you have to call this person, and, you know.
You can't get through.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay.
The frustration. Because I always have the dream where I've prepared for a test, and I show up and I missed it by a day.
Yeah.
Right.
That is so wild that we have the same dream.
How are you thinking too, Christine?
I've had that too, but I'm not naked.
It's much more fun being naked.
I know. Okay, there's something wrong with me. Seriously, there's something wrong with me today. But but it's all that stuck energy or that frustration, or I just, you know, you're not in that feeling of flow. Like I prepared and I got it and I'm there. It's always this, like, something got in my way. I woke up, and what was wrong with me? I was a day late, and what was I thinking? And you're in that panic mode, and, you know, so it's like, I hate it. You wake up from those dreams just like, oh, my gosh, I missed it, you know. So it's so good to hear that I'm releasing that.
Yeah.
That must be my theme this lifetime. Yeah,
sometimes those are called anxiety dreams. I would, rather than chopping dreams up into different kinds of psychological cubicles,
uh-huh,
just under the form of a release dream.
Yes.
You know, if you're being chased by a tiger or chased by an animal or chased by a dark figure, you know, that happens a lot in people's dreams, especially in children's dreams.
Mm.
Children tend to dream of two scary things, either a scary dark form adult or a scary animal. And these are what we're releasing. These are the difficulties or the things we're learning or the things we don't understand in our waking dream. We have this sleep time where they're ready, where they too can gestate. New information can come in and we can release. One thing I want to say to people around release dreams is please understand that this is your deep subconscious attempting to communicate to your conscious rational mind to give you a gift, to give you information, to help you to sort things through, to help this flow of release to happen more naturally. This is, you know, we may not wear watches, but we do dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a beautiful release. And so two things that can happen if people are interested in getting to know themselves deeper through their dreams or just, you know, play in this beautiful astral world that we get to visit every night. And more often than that, is if you're being chased or if you're frustrated or if you're, you know, you're day late, dollar short, all that kind of stuff, turn around. Instead of running, you'll get to the point where actually in your dream you'll be able to stop, turn around, and ask the tiger, the test that was supposed to be taken yesterday, ask, what is the gift for me? What is the gift that you have for me? And before you go to sleep at night, one thing you can do is, as you settle into sleep, as you surrender, it's a perfect place to practice surrender and flow, is to surrender to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Allow sleep to come. Allow your guides to come. Allow your release to flow through you. And no matter what form those dreams can take, tell yourself that in my dream, I'm going to ask for the gift.
Okay.
And sometimes it gets almost literal. I mean, it's really amazing. You can have these. You know, I work with people. They're dreams. All kinds of things can happen. And when they learn to ask for the gift, it is amazing how informed we can be from these different dimensions that we live in and bring them into this, what we, you know, our day-to-day manifested world that, of course, we all know is not solid, but is the world that we share on this level of duality.
I almost see dreams, Karen, when I work with people in dreams, that I loved what you said, because this is how I learned it, too, that, you know, there is not one universal symbol for each person. Each thing means something different to that individual person. So with a dream, it's almost more important to ask questions than to, you know, to be an inductive thinker, to go to, you know, asking yourself these questions. What could this possibly mean? Or what, you know, rather than trying to have it all figured out. To ask, what is this? What did that tiger mean? And I loved how you said that. You know, what gift did you have for me? What gift, you know, what are you telling me? You know, and I think it starts with the premise that our dreams, you know, are really the gateway to, like you said, marrying unconscious to conscious, to bring that information down in a way that maybe our conscious mind can hold and to understand. But, you know, I really feel like there is a part of, you know, my dreams are there to direct me and to protect me and to show me something in a way that I can understand it, that's much more, you know, tell me a story. I get the story. Show me the story, and then I'll understand the concept behind it. And my dreams tell me stories. They set up the stories, and then, you know, and then they, there's this whole, you know, act and play within, acts within the play. And they culminate in, like you said, a gift. And they're showing me something that's going on in my life that I need to understand and I need to really let unfold. And to that, I had not too long ago a dream that was really, it keeps coming back to me in my conscious mind because it was so important. And it was a dream of being, I was the general store owner, and I think I've told Christy about this, but, you know, I was just this general, I had this little general store in this little country town and had a big old pickle barrel out on the porch, and I was just the kind of storekeeper where it was like, oh, put your quarter for the pickle whenever you get chance, oh, just leave it on the counter, and I'll take whatever you need, and just, you know, pay whenever you need to, and I trust you. And one day I went to grab a pickle out of the pickle barrel, and there was nothing left, and there were no quarters on my counter. And I know people had not been malice or had intentions to steal from me. People were just doing what people do, which is, oh, I'll get her later, and I'm just going to take a couple now and get back to her. But lo and behold, my pickle barrel was empty, and I remember in my dream the rage I had. I was like, how dare you guys? And I ran through the store and locked it up, and it's like, no more pickles for anybody. This store is now officially closed down, and nobody's coming in, and, you know, nobody's taking from me. And that really, you know, when I sat with the dream and how passionate I felt coming out of that dream, and it was so telling of the next phase of my life. And the next phase of my life was really all about learning to treasure myself and the qualities within myself, and to be therefore not defensive but protective of that treasure. I was just letting, sort of like putting it all out there for people to just take, and in their unconsciousness they were just using and abusing it all. And that dream still comes back to me because it was so telling, and because I listened to it. It really was showing me that, you know, you don't need to have locks and bars and on your doors. But you do need to be really clear that what you have is something to be treasured. And so I always come back to and use as a sort of a, with people who know me, I'm always talking about that, my pickle barrel, protecting that pickle barrel. And if you want a pickle, you got to pay for it. You got to recognize and honor the gift. You know, so it was a really, you know, those dreams can be so telling. My unconscious mind was really telling me the next phase of my life and the next journey and life lesson I needed to really listen to and pay attention to.
And, you know, Rebecca, I think you mentioned something I think is really important for people to know, too, about dreams, is that two things came to mind. One is sometimes instead of, it depends on how we ask ourselves the questions. If we're looking for too definite a linear answer, like why did that happen, or why did that tiger turn blue and when I picked up the phone, you know, dream. It's about wondering. Wonder into your dreams. Mm-hmm. Wander gently into your dream. I want, because it's all good in there. Even if it feels uncomfortable, if you know, like you're being stolen from, even if it's strange, like you're being chased, you know, wander into your dream, because we can't unlock that unique wisdom by coming at a dream figure or a dream consciousness, you know, with everyday waking, pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So if we wander into our dreams, we're likely, more of the dream is likely to open to us.
Yes.
And dreams are all, the other point is that dreams are generally a little bit ahead of us. Just like in your pickle barrel story, you could tell it was about where you're going with your life,
right.
And perhaps what you've done in the past, you know. So just put those pickles right out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think that's an important point. Usually a little bit ahead of us, a little bit ahead. That's different than a prophetic dream that feels like, you know,
right.
They just feel different. This is going to happen during this and during this. But so just to know that, our dreams lead us very gently. And it's a combination of our superconscious, our conscious, and our subconscious. And our body is our subconscious mind. And so sometimes it's our body that does the dreaming, that sets up the dreaming, and we release our spirit to gather the information that's necessary and re-enter our body upon awakening. And it's within our body that our dreams integrate, because it's within our body that on this plane we take action with what we know and with the wonder and the consciousness that's inside us. So our action comes through our body and resonate out into the world. And so this coming together of our three consciousness, three levels, is the information that comes to us and through us while we dream. In other words, while our personality wonders about the dream. And also knowing, here's another flip here, also knowing that as we release our day-to-day consciousness, as we surrender to our astral life during dream time, that we are being dreamed by the universe. That, you know, we're all part of this incredible dream, that we're supposed to be here and that we're supposed to have our dream, because we're being dreamed as we dream.
Mm.
And it's this beautiful inflow of information and of love and of grace, even when we feel anxiety or weirdness. And so when people look at their dreams, to get this sort of fuzzy wonder, like when you read poetry or when you see a beautiful sunrise or sunset or a child sleeping and nothing is said, but something is stirred so deeply inside you. And that is the land of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Karen. As both of you know, but I'm sure many of our listeners don't know, my sister had passed away 9 years ago. As a matter of fact, she committed suicide, and that's one of my missions on this planet, is to help help educate people on the warning signs and things like that, so that they can get some help and that they don't commit suicide, so they choose a different option for their lives. And I remember right around the time when she had passed away, where I remember saying to my partner at the time, you know, one of the things that I miss so much about my sister was our sister talks, because we would get on the phone for hours, and it was just like we never finished a conversation. We were just talk. And literally that night I went to sleep and I had a dream that my sister called me on the phone, and in this dream we were talking on the phone, and I woke up and it felt like I just had one of my sister talks. And, you know, several times, I mean many, many, many times since then, I've been able to maybe even say to her at night, you know, come talk to me in my dream. And then that night I will literally dream about her. What is that? I mean, when you have someone that's passed on and you're trying to connect with them, do you know what that's about?
I sure do. That is an actual astral connection.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the beauties about dreaming, is that, you know, the worlds kind of move together. we are not restricted by our physical self nor our small personality, but our consciousness can open to the astral level, which we do. And depending on the connection that we've had with people while they're living on this side of the river versus, you know, living on the other side of the river where they are, like where your sister is now,
mm-hmm.
and where my husband of 26 years is now. I think I mentioned that on another earlier show, that he passed earlier this year, and he and I are in connection a lot. I wouldn't say every moment or every night, but certainly a lot. And sometimes even the conversations shift. You'll ask a question, and the answer you'll get seems like it's completely unconnected, just disconnected to what you thought you wanted to talk to them about or ease or. And but there's, because it's nonlinear, because what comes is what our souls need, not what our head mind thinks we need. We get all kinds of information if we will open up to the wisdom that comes through learning how to live in our linear world, our time-restricted world, and the world of space, and the world of alive silence. So, and hopefully that there's a comfort to you when your sister called, or you've got this connection, this etheric through the ethers connection, which is what telephones and internet and these things, radio, like we're doing.
But I think oftentimes, Karen, I'm sure you know this, is that, you know, when we're falling asleep or when we're asleep, the connection is much easier to get. You know, we're not in our bodies, so I think on the other side, they really want to connect with us more, but it's difficult because we've always got the phone turned off. You know, we're so busy in our lives, and we're not allowing our minds to get tuned into. But I think in our sleep, they can find us so much easier, and communicate with us if that's what we choose. So I think by your conscious intention, your desire to connect with her, you're opening the phone line, and it's her desire to come through too, probably, and to communicate with you. But it really, you know, I think the more you're open to this concept that, do we actually go someplace? Can we, you know, can we travel in our astral bodies? And I think, you know, the more that you're open to it, I know for myself, I've had so many amazing validations that you really do go someplace. I mean, I you know, I've had people come over and, you know, having woken up in the morning and thought, oh, you know, I was with this person, and have them call the next day and go, I had a dream about you. We were over here and over here. And I'm like, I know. I remember that, too. And so
That's happened with us.
It's all the time, Christy,
yeah.
Where we'll go, I was thinking, you know, I had a dream about you last night. And it's like, I know, me too.
Yeah.
And so it becomes very validating that, was that just coincidence? Or, you know, I truly believe we do leave our bodies and we do, you know, go travel. And like you said, Karen, I mean, I've heard it said that we take a lot of our coursework on the astral, and then we will proceed to do it in body when we're here. But I know for a lot of the workshops that I teach or a lot of the work that I do with clients, you know, they'll say, this is interesting. I feel like I've already done this with you before. You know, those who are very intuitive, and I'll say, well, we have. You know, we have been working together on a different realm, and then you just have to come in and do it in body and kind of complete the agreement. But I think that once we sort of agree to work together, we start working together on all sorts of different levels. And it doesn't have really, it has very little almost to do with the bodies. You know, the bodies just come together to formalize it, you know. But I think my belief is, as spirits, we all start working collectively. And I love the idea that you're saying, Karen, that, you know, we all go to this collective place too, that, you know, we sort of shed all the other outer layers and separations, and we sort of meld with the one collective mind and the one collective dream. So it's very interesting as you're saying all of this.
And I want to say something, too, Christy, about when you mentioned your sister. Because you know she hangs around you a lot.
Yes, I'm very aware of that.
Yeah, okay. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, yeah.
And our loved ones who are living, not in their physical bodies, but who are living on the on these astral planes, they do want to keep connection with us. And it is, and sometimes we feel like they're not here anymore. Well, they're here. And dream time is a wonderful time to connect with them because of everything that we're saying. We're not caught up in our distracted physical world. And to know that it's called the between. It's called the space between us is called the between. And in the between, we can have communication with our loved ones who are living on the other side. We can move around and welcome wisdom and information that is part of our ensouled journey. There is so much joy that goes up in the astral world when someone actually goes to sleep saying, tonight I'm going to be with, you know, my beloved sister. Tonight I'm going to be with my beloved Mark. And you, in giving ourselves, surrendering to sleep, we really do have these visits, and they will pop through into our dreams. And so if people haven't been journaling, journaling dreams is a fabulous way to track them and track yourself. And just as a hint or a reminder, if when we're speaking of dreams, it's important to speak as though you are in the dream. In other words, rather than I was a general store owner with a country store and a pickle barrel, as we enter the dream, as we're saying it out loud, whether we're journaling it or talking with the counselor or with a friend, and we say, okay, I am a general store owner. I have a pickle barrel. My pickle barrel all of a sudden seems empty, and you enter the dream as though it is happening now. So when I say you enter with some wonder and not linear, if we talk about our dream as though it's separate or happened in the past, we're just talking about the story. If we enter the dream and retell it as though it's happening now, we'll get so much more information. And sometimes what the dream means and the communications just pop right through when we re-enter the dream with wonder.
Okay. Beautiful. That's a great point. Thank you for shedding that light up for our listeners. That's awesome.
It's cool. About being open instead of, you know, thinking that you have the answer. It's really, I think, it's that feeling of being open and being in the wonder of, I wonder what that means. Oh, I wonder what tickle pink means. You know, I wonder what that pink. You know, I had a friend who also does a lot of dream workshops, and she was saying, you know, just being with. She's such a teacher for just being with stuff and letting it unfold. And she says, I kept wondering what that pink, I don't remember what it was in her dream, but she says, I just kept wondering, why is that pink? It's so unusual because it was typically blue. And she said, I just kept seeing it as in pink. And, you know, for days she sat with the, I wonder why it was pink. And then just as clear as a bell, she said, oh, it's because I'm growing into the tickled pink phase of my life. And she said it was just, there's the certainty. But what she shows me all the time is being the wonder. I think so often we want, I think, I don't know if this was our Western culture thinking, but we always want to have the answer. Oh, I know what that means. And I think
we think there has to be an answer, number one.
Exactly. Can we just sit in the wonder of, wonder what this is telling me. I wonder what this means, and to let it just sit. And like you said, Karen, until it just comes through. But there's an element of having your mind so out of the way, so open, instead of always trying to have the, you know, who was that guy on Horshack or whatever? That's my mind all the time. I know. You know, and it's like, okay, quiet. You don't always have to know. You know, you can just be open and wonder. So I think that's that's the beauty of the dream space, is it just, it can unfold, and it can, I wonder what that means, and I wonder what that means for me, and, you know, what that can possibly be. So, yeah, our dreams can be such a rich source of, gosh, information and travel and wisdom and connection.
And healing.
And healing. Healing is a really big part of our dreams. And, and when we dream, somewhere in us we know the meaning. We know the dream meaning. And where we get trouble is where we have to, we have this idea that we have to be right somehow, and that dreams have to make a logical sense. They don't. They make emotional, spiritual, and soul sense.
Right.
That's that knowing and that certainty that comes through, and why it's so individual, and why a symbol for Christy would be a different symbol for me, would be a different symbol for Rebecca, you know? So they're very individual, and they're so beautiful and creative. I do love dreams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer, too, and I wanted to just share something with you real quick before we have to go. My dad had called me, kind of blew me away. He called me the other day, and he said, I've started a business. He's starting an internet business. And apparently, a few months ago, he's only had one dream in 9 years of my sister, and it was right when she passed on. And this was probably a few months ago, and she came to him so clear in this dream, telling him exactly what he needed to do to start this other business. I mean, my dad's like 75 years old. He's almost ready to retire. But he's had some things from the war that he found, and they're amazing collector's items. And she came to him in the dream and said, this is what you should do. This is how much you should charge. This is how much it's going to cost to produce. This is where you need to go. I mean, just gave him like a download of information. And he thought, okay, when he woke up, he just wrote everything down. And he literally was amazed because the cost that she said it was going to cost him was like down to the penny it cost him.
Wow.
I mean, everything.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, everything he took, like every action he took, he followed exactly what she said in the dream. And it was literally like doors were opening. It was just done with ease and effortlessness. It was just, he was literally amazed. And I just thought it was so beautiful.
Imagine the joy for her.
Yeah.
Having connected and being heard and believed and followed and related to like that. That is so beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
So I thought that was pretty neat.
So wanted to just throw one point out there, because you mentioned something, Karen, and I think it's worth saying to listeners, is that I think that it's very possible, it is really good practice to, before you fall asleep, set an intention for your dream space. If you really come to, whether it's through this show or through just your own, you know, collected wisdom that you've gathered, if you recognize that your sleep space isn't just rejuvenating your mind, your brain, it's not just, you know, kind of recharging your physical space, but it's actually such a time to go out and connect and take classes and, you know, travel on the astral and bring information down and bring healing. You know, it's such a rich environment. When we really get that and we respect our sleep space, before we go to sleep, if we start out with that premise that our sleep space is so valuable, then before we go to sleep, we can set intentions. Like you said, Christy, you know, I really intend to connect with my sister tonight, or, you know, I'd love to release whatever angst I'm working on, or, you know, I really want some information on why I feel stuck, or whatever that is, or just talk to me, Sarah. Just tell me where I'm going in my life.
Or just be grateful.
Yes.
I know I am entering, I am surrendering to beautiful rest, to sleep. I'm in the arms of a loving universe, and I am willing to learn whatever I am intended to learn, and I'm willing to remember and bring from the astral rest, sleep, dream state.
Right.
I'm willing to bring this information and use
that's
it in my life.
That's
beautiful.
Beautiful. That intention is really so important to set, and then be open to whatever comes through.
Hello?
Well, this has been
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen, so much for being here. And you can, of course, get in touch with Karen Wilson. Why don't you give them your email address?
Okay. Karen Wilson, heartofcourage.com. Karen at heartofcourage. I just want to make sure that I thank both of you. I so love these encounters that we have.
Oh, there'll be many more. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks so much, you guys.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Well,
okay.
Sweet dreams, everyone.
Yes, sweet dreams. Thanks, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.